Mr. Belvedere.
Hello, Danny.
Is Wesley here?
Yes, come on in. Everyone, you remember Wesley's friend, Danny.
Oh, hi, Danny. Hi, Mrs. Owens, Mr. Owens.
Hiya, champ. How's it going?
Well, I got eight, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
Freaks on the China, never mattered before. Who cared when you drop-kicked your jacket as you came through the door? No one cared, but sometimes things get turned around and no one said. All hands look out below. There's a change in the status quo. We're gonna need all the help that we can get. According to our new arrival, life is more than mere survival. We just might live a good life.
It's Sunday, October 20th, 2019. Coming up on the program today, we just can't stop trying to make the Brady Bunch happen. Plus, Jesse Lee Peterson's amazing tribute to a dead congressman, huffing your mommy's deodorant because you like her scent, and scrotal rot. All this coming up today.
Irreversible dick destruction.
I want to come while I eat your smelly, hairy, wet pussy.
I'm a human being!
Crystal meth loosens up your butthole.
It's the Distorted View Show with Tim Henson.
All right, Tim back here with you for a weekend podcast, making up for the lack of a Friday show. Got a good one for you. At the very top of today's program, you heard that AIDS Mr. Belvedere mix, which we have played before. We've talked all about that episode, the very special Mr. Belvedere episode involving poor little Danny, who I guess died of AIDS because he was in one episode of the show and then, well, we never heard from Danny again. And, you know, in the mid-80s, AIDS was a death sentence. If it already progressed from HIV to AIDS, you were a goner. Sorry to hear about your bad luck, Danny. You gotta watch out for those blood transfusions. They're tricky. I'm assuming it was a blood transfusion that got him. Can't imagine Mr. Belvedere was going to go into the perils of back alley bareback sex.
Hi, Mr. Owens, Mrs. Owens. Just got back from the bathhouse. Can I use your toilet? I gotta shit out 5 loads of cum.
Sure, Danny. What I actually wanted to talk about was the Mr. Belvedere theme song and theme songs in general. We touched on this the other day. I can't remember if it was a Sideshow exclusive program or maybe the Wednesday podcast or something. We were playing all of those old, like, TGIF theme songs, like Perfect Strangers and Family Matters, Full House. And I noted that a lot of the theme songs in that TGIF block seem to have been sung by the same person. And I guess that's not unusual. There are people who just, for some reason or another, I guess, couldn't break on through to the mainstream as like a pop musician or something, and they're, you know, resorting to writing theme songs for television shows. Like, the same guy who wrote the Mr. Belvedere theme song also wrote the Cheers theme song, and also wrote the Punky Brewster theme song. This guy's name is Gary Portnoy. And he actually has released some of his work on CD, because that's what people want to buy. Listen to old theme songs in their car. Actually, that's something I would buy. Anyway, here is the original demo for the Cheers theme song. It's got different lyrics than the ones you may remember from the TV show. It's actually pretty awful.
Singing the blues when the Red Sox lose. It's a crisis in your life. On the run, cause all your girlfriends wanna be your wife. And the laundry ticket's in the wash.
Alright, time to blow your brains out!
All those nights when you've got no lights, the check is in the mail.
Okay, I mean.
And your little angel hung the cat up by its tail. And your third fiance didn't show.
I'm sorry, we'll play the chorus here, just.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows.
This is the part you would remember, right? Cheers, right? I'm guessing what happened was the producers heard this and they were like, hey, there's something there. I kind of like it. You got to change the lyrics, though. Now, before he got to this point, he tried a few different songs for the Cheers theme. This was originally going to be the Cheers theme song. This is called My Kind of People.
My kind of people root for the home team.
Oh, Lord.
Make it a living.
Oh, it's so cheesy, I expect to pull back the foreskin and find smegma.
We sit with our friends, the old and the true ones, before the night ends. We're bound to make new ones, you never know who's gonna show at Cheers.
This sounds like something you would hear in a musical. Not exactly like a television theme song. So, all right, then he went back to the drawing board and came up with this. This is the second Cheers theme song attempt.
Hey, that's another day.
Just as fucking depressing
one
sounding.
More in the past. Good times slip away.
Jesus.
Too fast. Out there 9 to 5. Wiped out when it ends.
I mean, I get what he's going for here. You know, you go to your 9 to 5, you have a shitty day, day in, day out. It's the same bullshit. And then you go to the bar and that, you know, everyone knows you and you have a good time. There's yet another version here that he didn't go with, thankfully. This is kind of in the middle of the song. This is called People Like Us.
Phil at Yale, disgrace St. Paul. Once you're out, it's who you know.
I mean, for a television theme song? Are you fucking kidding me? You're a disgrace. Like, what the hell? Here is his version of the Mr. Belvedere theme song. This is him singing the song. I think with the TV show, they actually went with a different singer. His lyrics, different singer, though.
Streaks on the china, never mattered before.
It's kind of weird because you hear the voice, and it's the same voice that you hear in the Cheers theme song, but he's now singing Mr. Belvedere.
Streaks on the china.
Weird.
Never mattered before.
It's all slow.
Who cared when you drop-kicked your jacket as you came through the door? No one glared.
Truth be told, one of the reasons I went down this TV theme song path is because I was watching that HGTV series, A Very Brady Renovation. That's where the HGTV network bought the real Brady house. The house that, you know, you see all the exterior shots of the house, right? And they bought it and they renovated the inside so it matches what, you know, you would have seen on the TV show, if that makes sense, right? And they use, like, a version of the Brady Bunch theme. They change the lyrics around. And I remember, you know, I wasn't alive at the time, but I, you know, remember reading that when the Brady Bunch first aired in the 60s and 70s, it wasn't really a huge hit. It was always right on the edge of cancellation, and I think it only lasted 4 or 5 seasons. But it must have done really well in syndication or something, because then, you know, the spinoff started a few years later. They made a cartoon out of the Brady Kids. They used the same Brady theme instrumental, but changed the lyrics.
Meet three sisters.
Now meet their brothers. Greg's the leader and the good man for the job. There's another boy by the name of Peter.
And the one thing that I will say about all of the Brady spinoffs, the theme song sucks. All right, I get it. The original had a very iconic song. We all know the Brady Bunch theme song, right? So in all of the subsequent spinoffs, they try to use that theme song, but they change the lyrics around, and it's so hard to fit in new lyrics that make sense and aren't awful, right? So the Brady Bunch kids were about a band, right? I guess the Brady kids started a band.
There's another boy by the name of Peter.
This
one is Bob.
See our sisters, they're all quite pretty. First there's Marcia with her eyes a sparkling blue.
Then there's Jen, the middle one, who's really groovy.
That's all we can really say about Jen. She's the middle one, she's alright.
And sister Cindy too.
Let's get set now for action and adventure.
adventure.
So that's like the cartoon. I think that was the first Brady spinoff. Then the second spinoff was a variety hour starring the Brady Bunch in character as the Brady Bunch. Like the Brady family gets a variety show. That also uses the real Brady theme, but like a kazoo instrumental, I think. Good choice. Kazoo is always the way to go. That, the variety show lasted about like 5 episodes, right? Like none of these Brady shows really ever last that long. Then in the, I think, early 80s, there was a show called The Brady Brides, where Marsha and Jan both got married, and that's what that show was about. Once again,
it's a new
same
life for two girls named Brady,
damn music.
Who have left the bunch to make it on their own. Jan fell in love with a man named Philip, the nicest guy she knows. In the meantime, along came Wally. He's different than Philip every way.
This theme song is a minute in length and really goes into great detail to explain the basis of the show. It's like, all right, we got these two broads, the Brady sisters are getting married, the husbands are very different than one another, and then they get married together, but then shows each of them selling their houses because they can't afford it, then they have to move in together. The theme song just explains it all, right? This show lasted, I don't know, 9 episodes. At this point, you'd think, even though the original Brady Bunch is one of the most well-known shows of all time, it didn't do well in the ratings, right? None of the spinoffs so far have done well. They've all been canceled, you know, before the end of their first season. If you were an executive and you were pitched another Brady Bunch spinoff, wouldn't you say, fuck no, I'm not going to waste my time and money on this. It's not going to work. None of them have ever worked. You guys forget how awful TV used to be. We really are like in a golden age of television, and we have been for a while. There's a lot of good shit out there. You know, Netflix, even Amazon Prime has some good TV shows. Cable. In the, you know, 80s, 90s, there's just a lot of shit, apparently. And what happened was this. In 1988, someone pitched a television executive, let's not do a Brady Bunch series. Let's do a one-off special. We'll do a Brady Bunch Christmas special. It was a movie. It was like a movie-length Brady Bunch. Didn't have a laugh track. It was actually kind of serious. At the end, Mike Brady dies of AIDS. What? No, that's not what happened. That's what happened in real life. He got trapped in a building, right? A building collapsed on him. He's a very bad architect. But then, like Florence Henderson, Mrs. Brady starts singing, "Oh God, oh Eve," and everyone joins in. And then all of a sudden, Mike Brady comes out of the collapsed building okay, and that's pretty much the end of the Brady Bunch Christmas movie, right? Apparently, that did very well in the ratings. And television executives can't help themselves, and they're like, well, let's take this premise, this idea, let's move away from the Brady Bunch sitcom. This cheesy, childish bullshit, right? This is what we've been doing wrong with these spinoffs. We gotta make it more like the Brady Christmas movie, where it was like a dramedy. It's like Brady Bunch China Beach, or Brady Bunch 30-something, you know, those crappy TV shows that aired around then. The ratings for the Christmas movie were great. Let's do this one more time. We're going to go ahead and green light a new Brady series. And sure enough, on February 9th, 1990, The Brady's aired. It was canceled on March 9th, 1990. It lasted a month. In the very first episode, Bobby, who's a race car driver, gets in a wreck and is paralyzed from the waist down. A few episodes later, Marsha becomes an alcoholic. I shit you not. This ain't your mama's Brady Bunch. The funniest thing, like, you know, we're talking about theme songs here. The show, like, again, only lasted 6 episodes. They went through 3 different theme songs. And they're all basically the Brady Bunch theme song, right? but totally 90s, right? So here's the first version. Oh, yeah. It's got that smooth 90s sax. That was all the rage. This show was so bad, the original Marsha Brady didn't want anything to do with it. They had a replacer for the series. So that's the first version, right? You get the idea. They were smart, though, that they didn't include lyrics. It's just an instrumental. I kind of like that. The second version is similar, but I think they got rid of the sax. It's a little more gritty, a little more rock. I just imagine that, you know, television executives or producers or whatever are seeing the ratings come in for this show and they're not great. And they're like, fuck, what can we do? Why aren't people liking this show? It's obviously the theme song. That's what needs to be changed. Every two episodes, they changed the theme song. They were tweaking it. And I think maybe it's because they were like, look, we shot all six episodes. There's nothing we can do about that. This is the one thing they could sort of mess around with, right? Freaks. The third version is got to be one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life. Florence Henderson, rest in peace. God rest her soul. I'm sure she's a very sweet lady. She insists on singing. I know she made some albums and stuff during her lifetime. I don't know who told this bitch she can sing, but they were lying to her, right? So Florence Henderson sang the third version of this theme song. Yes, the third version does have lyrics. And yes, it's to the goddamn Brady Bunch instrumental.
Here's the story of the family Brady.
Like, you know, she's kind of like, she's over-dramatically singing it.
Brady. A mom and dad with all their children grown.
Whoa.
Our kids are now pursuing their dreams with families of their own. When our kids were small, their problems all were smaller.
Problem.
As they changed, so did their point of view. The world has taken on a larger meaning. Since the family grew, the Bradys, oh, the Bradys, that's how the Brady Bunch became the Brady.
What the fuck? That's how the Brady Bunch became the Bradys. Those lyrics saved the show. It went on for another 18 seasons. Record-breaking Emmy Award-winning seasons. No, they aired six episodes, and they were done with that bullshit. All right, so there you go. I'm done now talking about theme songs and crappy TV shows. Oh, real quick, before we get into the news, I don't know how closely you follow politics, but Congressman Elijah Cummings recently died. He was a black dude, and his little pet project was civil rights or something. Anyway, a friend of the program wanted to pay respects to Elijah Cummings, so he did so on his radio program. Yes, I'm talking about Jesse Lee Peterson.
He did.
That's a touching tribute already. He did. It's moving, really.
He dead. And what happened when you mess with the Great White Hope?
Yeah, I guess Elijah was a Democrat, which naturally means that Trump killed him somehow.
Hope.
You mess with Trump, you go against Trump, you die. I mean, the dude was 69 years old, and he had like a bunch of medical problems. But okay, let's attribute it to Trump. I mean, Trump could have kind of had something to do with it. Like, if Elijah got all worked up, like, Trump really gets my blood boiling, you know, gets his blood pressure up, and, you know, then he has a heart attack or something. I don't know. I don't think that's what Jesse Lee Peterson's talking about, though. He's speaking like more mystically, like, you're going to get Trump and God going to kill you, you know, because, you know, he's appointed by Jesus Christ.
Don't mess with God's children.
See?
Don't mess with God's children.
God, he looks so fucking dumb. I'm going to make Jesse Lee Peterson today's featured image. He's like, he's got like a droopy lip, droopy eyes, and he's wearing a shirt with his own face on it with the word amazing written below. I want one of those fucking shirts.
So the headlines are describing him as powerful orator. That means he had a big mouth. Mama mouth. A powerful speaker. They all priest-like. You know how those blacks go into the preaching mode, right? Obama did that. Michelle does that. Big Mama Michelle. But may his soul rest in peace. But don't mess with the great white hope. You see what happens.
This is quite a touching tribute. There are so many long pauses on Jesse's show. If I was listening to this on the radio, I'd be like, is something wrong with the station? It's like dead air.
And if you notice, John McCain, he dead. Yeah. Charles Krauthammer, yeah. He dead. And Elijah Cummings, no, he dead.
I guess 68 isn't that old, but, you know, John McCain was in his 80s. You're really going to give that one to Trump? And actually, like, wasn't John McCain diagnosed with brain cancer before Trump even went into office?
They went against him. They talked about him. Now they all dead. That's amazing.
There's his catchphrase. I'm getting one of those shirts. A shirt with a giant Jesse Lee Peterson head with the word amazing below it. All right. I want one that says Bannerman on it. All right. And with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, fucked up news right now. If you're not a member of the Distorted View Sideshow, please consider signing up. That's our member site where you get full access to the entire archive of programs. Well over, 3,000, 4,000 shows at this point. Been doing the program since 2004. It's very comprehensive, overwhelming even. There are just tons and tons of past shows for you to listen to. Every week we do exclusive shows just for paying members, usually on Tuesday and Thursday. You may remember a couple months ago, the freaks in the Discord were running a little contest trying to amass the largest collection possible of music that I have featured on the program, you know, Linda Finkel Hall of Fame nominees and me singing and stuff. Well, I just got the zipped archive. I'm going to be posting it on the sideshow soon. I think there may be one or two songs that I have to take out for legal reasons. Maybe not, though. I'll have to look into it. But I think there's a few that I want to add. I think I've got some music that has not been included. I was pretty impressed, though, because there was a lot of stuff that I forgot about. For instance, do you remember that I sang Tiptoe Through the Tulips? That is not my Mrs. Miller impression. That's just me trying to sound like Tiny Tim. Okay. Maybe I was trying to do Mrs. Miller there. Okay, all right, you get the idea. Here's me singing, Your Love Is Lifting Me Higher. It's bad. I can do a better version. And I'll be had marbles in my mouth. You know your love. Keep lifting. Although I don't remember singing that song, I see myself singing that song. Like, that's one that I think I could do a good impression of. Your love is lifting me higher. See? Much better than the recorded version there. I don't remember singing Baby Baby in a bad Bulgarian voice, like accent.
Baby Baby, I'm taken with the notion to love you, sweetest of devotion.
Yeah, just a lot.
Baby Baby.
A bad music.
The love will flow from.
Son of a bitch.
I don't know. What that must have been some bit. All right. If you want that, I'll be posting that zip file on the website real soon. Just another reason to sign up for the Sideshow. Membership's very inexpensive, only $6.99 a month, even less when you opt for a quarterly, semi-annual, yearly, or lifetime membership. Don't forget, we also have a Patreon account, patreon.com/distortedview. I'll be doing a personal podcast in the next week or so, which is very exciting. So check that out. All right, three very quick stories now. First up, if your testicle balloons up to the size of a basketball and then turns black and it stinks, should you go see the doctor? Well, the medical community is split on that one. No, of course you should go see a doctor. If any one of those things are true, go see a doctor. After 3 decades of progressive symptoms, a 43-year-old man from Panama was rushed into the emergency room with a massively swollen scrotum. Well, that's today's title. His balls hung past the level of his knees, so there was some heft to it. You know what I mean? It was pulling down. And the scrotum began to rot, and it was oozing foul-smelling pus. That's all according to his team of doctors. When he arrived at the hospital, he had a fever of 102 and rapid heart rate, as well as extensive swelling and thickened skin in his scrotum and upper right leg. I'm guessing, like, his leg skin was thick because his balls kept swinging and hitting his thigh and bruising it, and eventually the skin thickened there. He also had 2 open wounds in his scrotum, which smelled lovely. Further imaging of his abdomen and pelvis revealed a large hernia containing part of his colon. Things just keep getting better. As well as a huge abscess, considerable tissue damage, and fluid collection. There are pictures of this crotch rot. Obviously, I'm not going to post them. I'm not going to make up today's featured image or anything at distortedview.com. We have a very X-rated Twitter account, Extreme EXT, you know, the normal way you spell Extreme, Extreme DV, or it's, you know, at Extreme DV. And I will post a couple of those pictures if you want to check it out. Follow me. Fearing the ravages of gangrene and sepsis, the doctors quickly wheeled him into an operating room to try to remove the rotting flesh. Pathologists examining tissue from his scrotum found extensive inflammation and that some of his skin had begun to liquefy. Holy shit! Though days of intravenous antibiotics seemed to improve his surgical wounds, his painful infection lingered. Doctors made the call to remove his left testicle and scrotum. Like, I'm looking at the scrotum. I don't know how you can tell which one's the left and which one's the right. You know, you really have to go fishing around in there, as well as repair his hernia with a biological mesh. Doctors also performed plastic surgery and subsequent operations to repair his perineum and penis, which had become buried by his extremely large scrotum. The Lost Taint. Sounds like one of those Amazon Kindle erotica stories. After 4 weeks in a rehabilitation facility, the man was reported to be healing well with satisfactory cosmetic and functional outcomes. The doctors suspect that it all started with untreated lymphatic filariasis. I don't know. A parasitic disease caused by roundworms that are transmitted by mosquito bites. One more reason I don't like going outside. Nothing good happens when you go outside. You get skin cancer, Ebola, roundworms in your scrotum. Like, you know, it's a nightmare out there. Stay inside. By the way, once delivered to the body, thanks to the mosquitoes, the worms take up residence in the lymph system, causing inflammation. Though most infected people show no symptoms, some can go on to develop lymphedema, which is tissue swelling, also skin and tissue thickening, and scrotal swelling. By the time the man arrived in the hospital, he reported that he had come to rely on a walker to get around and that his mom took care of most of his daily needs. That woman is a saint. His case, published online this month in the Journal of Urology Case Reports, is rare in the developed world, but challenging to treat. Sounds like he's going to be okay, though, which is miraculous. If you look at those pictures of his scrotum, I mean, I would have just cut the whole thing off. The last picture is of it all, like, stitched up. It looks like a pastry puff. I don't know, like a baklava or something. I don't know. I'll post it and you guys tell me what you think of it. All right, second story we have for you today. A 13-year-old boy died after breathing in deodorant because the smell reminded him of his mother. The story would actually be kind of sweet and sad if, like, the mother was dead and he's like, I just wanted to remember what she smelled like, right? But no, his mom's fine. He's just a weirdo. Jack Wapple's mother, Susan Wapple, found her son unconscious in his bedroom in the UK. She found a can of deodorant on the bed of her son. Okay, so he's like he's a sniff freak. He was trying to get drunk or high. He probably saw that the deodorant contains alcohol or something and was like, I'm going to snort it all. I'm gonna get high. It's going to be so cool. She found a can of deodorant on the bed of her son, who had a history of smelling the scented aerosols. See? Paramedics were called to the boy's home in Hockwold, Norfolk. Over there in the UK, but were unable to save his life. I wonder if this is the first life that secret deodorant has claimed. The hearing at Carrow House Coroner's Office in Norwich heard the teenager had died by misadventure. That sounds cool, like a cool way to go out. He was out there doing stuff, right? Going on adventures, active. Death by misadventure. Like he was swinging on ropes in the jungle and accidentally fell into a swamp of crocodiles. Not sitting on his bed jerking off to the scent of his mother. A fucking freak. Before her son died, Susan had noticed cans of deodorant were lighter than before or missing around the house. Jack's mother and father had warned him against abusing aerosols. See, now, the start of this story made it sound like he was sniffing the aerosol cans because it had the smell of his mom. You know, like the mom used the deodorant. That's what the mom smelled like. So that's why he smelled. That's not why he was smelling it. He obviously has an addiction problem with snorting aerosol cans. Has nothing to do with loving his mom. Jack's mom and dad warned him about abusing aerosols, but the teenager said he would merely spray the scent about when he was feeling anxious if his mother was out of the house. Coroner Yvonne Blake said Jack had assured you nothing was wrong and said he sprayed his deodorant about as it smelled like you. He asked you to believe him. You felt you had to show faith in him. Boy, that was a mistake. Never believe what your kid is telling you. 9 times out of 10, they're lying. How do I know this? Because I was once a teenager and you were all too. Think about how much of an asshole you were. You were all little shits. Don't give kids an inch. They're horrible, just awful people. He was very adventurous. Really? Because it sounds like he had crippling anxiety. He missed you, and he would lock himself in his bedroom and smell things that had your scent on it. All right. He was very adventurous and would do things like he had learned off the internet, which is just a horrible, you know, idea. Like making a cake in a cup. Ooh, yeah, he's a wild man. He's adventurous. He made cake in a cup, guys. And making his own ice cubes. Oh my god. We got a real Bear Grylls over here. I'm sorry, that's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard. He was adventurous. And he made his own ice cubes. Oh my god, that's the dumbest fucking shit I've ever heard in my life. He was very adventurous. He would make his own ice cubes. What the fuck? I'm sorry. Oh my god, just fuck it. this kid just sounds so sheltered, you know what I mean? But his parents, man, they're trying to make him, they're trying to talk him up here. His father said his son loved experimenting with things. The teenager was found with blood on him, which the coroner said was likely due to the fact the boy often had nosebleeds. He had no signs of hemorrhaging or external damage. Following a post-mortem examination, a pathologist said there was no volatile gas found in Jack's lungs because of how it dissipates after death. Gas from aerosols can jolt the heart and cause damage. The mother said at the hearing, they say people get a high from it. I don't know. It used to be glue sniffing in my day. Good point, Mom. Glue smells way better than aerosol cans. All right, final story we have for you today. This one comes from China. That's right. A Chinese man is now bedridden for life after he sold his kidney as a teenager to the black market, all to buy the latest Apple products. Wang Shengkun was 17 years old when he made the fateful decision. Shortly after the illegal surgery, he began suffering from a decreased level of kidney function. This is why I refuse to give up any of my kidneys. I could use the extra cash, but it would be just my luck. I give away, you know, a kidney and then the other one goes bad, right? So yeah, he started to suffer from a decreased level of kidney function. 8 years on, the 25-year-old is now bedridden for life after his remaining organ failed. Mr. Shang Khan had sold his kidney to the black market organ harvesters in April 2011 when he received $4,500, but that's Australian dollars, which is weird because, you know, the story takes place in China. You'd think it would be in China money or here in the United States where the news story is written. That equals out to about $3,000, by the way. I wouldn't settle for anything less than 25 G's for my kidney, I think. $3,000? That's, you know, that's barely enough to buy an iPhone and a Mac. Back then, he purchased an iPhone 4 and an iPad 2. Why do I need a second kidney? One is enough, he said in reports at the time. Well, you got your answer. Mr. Huang now spends his days in bed and relies on dialysis to survive his kidney failure. The illegal well, that sounds like a great life. Sort of chill out in bed, be on my iPad all day. The illegal surgery had caused him to develop a renal deficiency, which is believed to have led to an infection due to the unsanitary setting of where it took place and the apparent lack of post-operative care. Chinese newspaper Jinghao reports that Wang first made contact with the alleged harvester through internet chat rooms. Nine people were arrested in connection with the case, and five, including the surgeons who harvested his kidney, were jailed in 2012. His family was eventually awarded about $300,000 in compensation. Now that's what I'm talking about! You'll be able to get every new iPhone every year until the day you die, which might come sooner than you think. Mr. Wang allegedly sought the new iPhone in order to show off to his friends. He got the new iPhone, but he can't show it off because he can't leave the house. Sounds like one of those deals you make with the devil. You got to be real careful how you word it because he'll trick you. You know, if you say, hey, devil, I want to make a deal with you. I want the biggest brain in the world. That way no one will think I'm stupid, right? I can show off my intellect. And then the devil's like, okay, deal. You wake up the next day and you can barely lift your head. He's made it physically larger. You can't walk anywhere because your head is like dragging on the ground. It's so heavy. And what the devil has done is he's given you brain cancer, too. So your brain is expanded, but it's all tumors and stuff. You know what I mean? So it's a big brain. It's a big brain, technically. But you're not going to live for very long, and it didn't really make you smarter. It's bad brain matter. I mean, I maybe could have come up with a better example of this, but it's kind of the same thing, right? The kid wanted to show off his new iPhone, and they're like, okay, wish granted, you get a new iPhone. Now you can't leave the bed, asshole. All right, his family lived in one of China's poorest provinces and could not afford it, so he turned to other means to raise the money, which, of course, was harvesting his kidney. But now his family has $300,000, so it's kind of a blessing in disguise for them. I mean, you're going to die soon, but for the family, it's nice to have $300,000. You can't spend it. You can't leave the house. All right, there you go. That, my friends, is your Distorted News for Sunday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. Love to hear from you, freaks, and there are many ways to contact the show. You know that, right? You can always email me, show@distortedview.com. I'm all over social media. Let's just do a couple real quick calls here.
Hey, Timmy Boo. This is a Sideshow member and Patreon member, White Guy with Guitar. Just listening to your Thursday, October 17th episode about Wildman Fisher. And
yeah.
Man, did that bring back memories. My father actually showed me Wildman Fisher way back in the day on a vinyl record. When I was probably about 7 years old. So if you would like some good song recommendations,
yeah,
I will find that record for you.
Yeah, tell me which ones you like or which ones are the best Wildman Fisher songs in your opinion.
Hey, Tim, this is Patreon member Slowbot again. I was listening to your podcast about incels, and, you know, I spent a ton of time on that incel page because it was really interesting for a while, but then it became super boring and repetitive because they don't seem to understand that, you know, they think that people don't like them because they're, you know, too short or because their wrists are too narrow,
right,
or because something about their eyebrows or their forehead or something stupid. But then they'll also say that, like, they don't have any friends, you know. If you can, it's like they'll just completely ignore the fact that they're completely friendless, and that's probably why they can't get a girlfriend, because nobody likes them. Even people that, you know, don't want to fuck them don't want to hang out with
right,
them.
Right, exactly.
So it's just such a...
I mean, that really is kind of why we don't talk about incels more on the show, because it's the same thing. I mean,
weird, you know, repetitive thing. I give up on it entirely, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the end of my rant about...
Incels are all very... I mean, it's just the same shit with them. Every incel is basically the same.
Glass meat clock. Eat your time.
Tell the meat.
Glass meat clocks. It's time to every world. 12 is grill meat.
I wanted to make a glass meat clocks t-shirt last year for Christmas to sell, but I couldn't figure out exactly how to make that look without looking just completely dumb, like a child designed it. Ground beef is midnight.
Hey, Timb. This is Meowness speaking, and I'm sure that I'm going to be the fifth person to say this because I'm a regular caller and not a Patreon, but Timb is a reference to Brad Carter. He says that all the time.
Oh.
So Jimb and Timb. Also, one more thing.
My boyfriend. No, funny. We were just talking about Mrs. Miller on the show. Yeah, you guys should really go check out that YouTube. Just search for Mrs. Miller live or something like that, and you can see what she looked like as she was performing on a television show. Someone actually invited her onto their TV show. It's pretty awful. That is all the time we have on this edition of the show. Want you guys to email me, show@distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line 480-206-666-4463. That's 206-666-4463. Oh, God.
That's amazing.
Spread the distortion. STD, tell all your friends about the podcast. Don't forget to rate us and review us on iTunes. I will be back tomorrow to start a new week of programs, so be on the lookout for that. Until then, have a great day. Bye. Bye. I don't know if you know about this about me. This, you know that I don't know if you know this about me, is what I'm trying to say.